Here we are with one of my favorite people in the whole world, and I mean that. I'm not just saying it. Peter Welch, the congressman from Vermont, the only congressman from Vermont. Peter, always wonderful to have you. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
It's great to be with you, Alan.
Okay, so here is the question of the day. You know, right now everybody's concentrating on the presidency, of course, which has humongous ramifications. But we also have a lot of people who can't put food on the table, and we don't have a virus relief package. The Democrats passed one, as you know, because you voted for it a long time ago, and the Republicans have been standing on their heels. What's going on?
Well, number one, I want to say it's absolutely, absolutely essential that we get another relief package out. And it's overdue. I mean, there is a lot of pain and suffering out there for people whose help has run out. Unemployment has dried up. Our small businesses, the virus is going on and on and on, and we need more help for them. Our state and local governments have been hemorrhaging revenues as a result of the collapse in the economy and spending in some areas, and they need help. And there's a lot of food insecurity. A lot of folks are hungry. And the House did pass another bill, $3.4 trillion. Senator McConnell has been against it. He's been very explicit that state and federal aid, he says, we shouldn't give aid to the states. They should declare bankruptcy. The president has been on again, off again. Sometimes he says stop negotiations, and then the next day he tweets that he wants to go bigger than what the House has passed. But what we've tried to do, and I've been an advocate for this, let's compromise on a number. I mean, I'm quite willing to come down to the president's $1.8 trillion. But in fact, it doesn't appear that that's a serious offer because there's no willingness on the part of the president in the Senate, certainly Senator McConnell, to show up at the bargaining table. So you've got this horrible situation where the House has passed a bill. The things that are in the bill are things that everybody needs. They're not Democratic or Republican priorities. There's unemployed people in Indiana and Texas, just like Vermont and New York. State revenues are hemorrhaging in Vermont and New York, but also in Indiana and Idaho. Our small businesses and restaurants and performance spaces, all of these need help. And the argument I make with my Republican colleagues is, hey, your folks have the same challenges that the folks in Vermont have. And right. Many of them acknowledge that. So I really have to say that if the president wanted to get this done, we'd get it done. I'm among the Democrats who've been urging Speaker Pelosi, and I think she's listening, to compromise, because it's better we get something out sooner rather than later, because depending on how this election comes out, if Democrats win, we'll have another chance in January to do what we think is necessary. But people need help. Our businesses need help. Our state and local governments need help. And the federal government is the only governmental entity to be with the fiscal flexibility and fiscal capacity to help folks through what is a once in a century event. We have to act, and I'm committed to doing it. I'm willing to compromise to get it done.
Okay, so let's assume that's so. You're a guy who understands politics better than anybody I know. So here's my question. Mitch McConnell is the holdup here. You say if the president said, come on, Mitch, you've got to do this, he would do it. But he's got a number of Republican senators who say no help, no bill. But if they took the ones that would vote for it, plus the Democrats, wouldn't they win? Couldn't they pass it?
Yes, and that's how it would have to proceed. And that's why the president is so critical, because what Senator McConnell has said is that if President Trump agrees, then he, McConnell, will put the bill on the floor. So if you have an agreement with Pelosi, House Democrats, and the president, and that gets on the Senate, then you're going to have the Democrats and a number of Republicans who can get that passed.
But McConnell won't allow it, will he? I mean, that's the problem, because he doesn't want to pass a bill with Democratic votes.
Well, that's pretty terrible. Keep in mind that Senator McConnell is the person who said when he was in leadership in the Senate when Obama was first elected that he defined his job. This is his definition of his job as leader in the Senate, to make certain that President Obama was a one-term president. And it's really one of the most repulsive things I've ever heard a politician say, and I'll tell you why. You know, we have our contest, and then we have an election, and the people decide. And the time for competition is in the election, but then post-election, it's the time for cooperation, when that cooperation can help the American people, no matter who's president. And the fact that he is leader of the Senate, who has a major responsibility to help this country move forward, decided that was less important than sabotaging any potential for a second term that would be enhanced, I suppose, in Senator McConnell's view, by progress for the American people. That's the guy we're dealing with, all right? That's the guy we're dealing with.
I want to switch to the coronavirus for a second here. Vermont is doing very well, right, in controlling COVID-19 than almost anybody else in the country. How come?
You know, frankly, the Governor Scott is doing a really good job, and he's doing a really good job because he's following essentially the pandemic playbook that was established initially under President George Bush. That playbook is one, pay attention to science; two, pay attention to public health advice; three, be clear and consistent in your communication. And he has done all those things. So you've seen Vermont have a significant compliance here with those things each of us can do, like washing our hands, like wearing a mask, like social distancing. So it has helped us a lot. And you've seen some other states where the governors, some Democrats, some Republican, have followed that approach, and it really has paid off. So I think we have to give credit to Governor Scott for the good job that he's done.
All right. Let's talk about the effects that the pandemic is having on the agriculture industry in Vermont. Are your farmers and your agriculture people talking to you about this?
Definitely they are. I mean, it's really, really painful because the milk price was really doing well in January and February, and boom, in March when we had COVID, it just collapsed. It went from like $20 to $10. It's starting to creep up. But farmers, dairy farmers, are always on the financial edge, and that was brutal. Some of the federal programs have helped, and it's a combination of some direct payments to farmers, and they need more to get through this, but also the nutrition programs where the federal government has been buying food has been helpful. I was in Franklin County yesterday talking to the Dairy Farmers of America, and those programs help the farmers sell their product. And then our area council on aging is delivering meals that are really good and highly nutritious meals to local residents, mainly older people, who need that food. And that those programs where we're helping the farmers by direct payments and also buying their products and then turning those into meals and then distributing them, that's making a big difference all around, helping sustain agriculture. But it's very, very tough, and frankly, I think we need more help for dairy.
Our very good friend is Peter Welch. He's the only member of Congress from Vermont. And Peter, I can't get enough of talking to you. When we come back the next time, let's talk about Amy Comey Barrett.
Okay.